In the dark, I fed my dream.
Welcome to episode 384 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Oh, good to be here with all of y'all. Okay, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code PERMA. You want to make sure you try to mitigate all those EMFs any possible way you can. This thing works. And son, I told your mom to go ahead and order another one of those big bags for you and a couple of them that you and Emily can put in your pockets.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so that ought to be on your on its way to you here before too long.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, this episode is going to be a little bit different. Before, right off the bat, let me just kind of knock out some of these announcements here. So for those of you that are getting in the sheep and you're wondering, oh, shoot, I got a bunch of ewes. I need a ram. Well, my homeboy over at Green Haven Farm and Homestead.com, he has a St. Croix ram for $450. It's Greg Judy stocks, so that's exactly what I got a ram from him before to go ahead and breed my stuff. Very pleased with the outcome. Excellent body condition. Everything's cool. Anyway, anybody needs one, go over there, greenhavenfarmandhomestead.com. Now, before we get hot and heavy on this, I know it's Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, son.
Well, I don't know quite how to respond because we have stopped celebrating Thanksgiving after doing some deep diving on like the origins of Thanksgiving, realizing that it goes much further back than the pilgrims and everything. We've decided to not stop or to not celebrate Thanksgiving anymore. In fact, today's video, I recorded a video earlier about this, and I was in the middle of editing before getting on for the podcast as to like, you know, uncovering the pagan origins of Thanksgiving and how it started way further back than just the pilgrims and how it became a holiday in like 1863 as a form of manipulation from Lincoln. So I love you guys. I don't mean to disappoint anybody or anything like that.
It's so just much for the Thanksgiving episode. Okay.
But also yeah. It's your fault, Dad. And it's going to be part of the topic today, but it's your fault. For this happening.
Well, no, I mean, at this point, honestly, nothing would shock me at this point. I mean, I'm down to like two holidays I even acknowledge, and it's 4th of July and Thanksgiving. And you know what? That is the mark of a thoughtful mind, is that you can hear any argument without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with it. So, you know, I'll examine the information, and if it makes sense to me, then you know what? It'll be another holiday I can mark off the list. Because honestly, I don't even celebrate my own birthday, folks. The only birthday I even concern myself with, by and large, is my grandbaby. And yeah, I can tell you some nonsense. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I create my own holidays. So either way, for those out there that are taking this day off and you're celebrating Thanksgiving, well, I hope it's a joyful day for you. And I look forward to examining some of the information William's talking about. But before we get down to brass tacks here, y'all, in the description box down below and also in the chat, Michelle kind of, if you're wondering in the chat where all that stuff came from, well, WhaleBots hit me up a little while ago. And folks, you know those guys that supply all those incredible deals. I mean, they got so many different brands over there, but there's nobody that's competing with them in terms of price. I mean, nobody. And they got a Black Friday. I'm not down for the whole, you know, holiday thing like William was saying a minute ago. But look, man, if you're going to buy some stuff and people are dropping the prices down to next to nothing, this is why I don't mind talking about it, because these are things that you need in terms of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. So the preparedness, permaculture, and practical living is all summed up with the things you can get from WhaleBots. So well, we got hey, back to
explain what Wellbots is, Dad, because most of us don't know.
Yeah. In a nutshell, they basically cover it all in terms of preparedness, whether you need a solar generator, whether you need a regular generator, whether you need something that's off grid. This is what they specialize in. It's hard to pigeonhole them in the one box, but they got it all under one umbrella. And folks, if you can find a better price, look, I get nobody's paying me to say this. I get nothing out of this. These guys, I remember, if they're on this program, I went to them. They did not come to me. In every single, I'm dead serious, y'all. If they are on this program, it's because we checked them out. I give them the seal of approval. I know the stuff works, and I'm telling everybody about it. So if you need any of their preparedness items, we got all the discount codes, all that stuff right now, folks. It is off the charts what they're offering. A lot of the stuff we've done reviews on. So you want to go check them out, and I think you're going to like it. So if you're in the market for any of that stuff, trust me, you want to go to Wellbots first before you check out anybody else. I'll remind you again, hopefully by the end of the program. But anyway, it's all down below in the description box, and it's also in the chat. So peruse that at your earliest inconvenience. All right, y'all, remember Sovereign Health Summit's going to be coming up next year, October. I know we're a little ways out, but if you're looking for a discount, 5% off. Look, that's all we can do because these prices are already low. TPC will get you 5% off. And folks, I'm telling you what, this thing is going to be the cat's meow. We even got Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on board. Folks, if you don't know who that is, I can't tell you who.
Yeah, and
I
can't you can't. Tell you
what she does right now here in this live, I can't do it because they would surely cut the feed. But go look into her, and I'll probably be interviewing her before here too long. But that will have to be just on Rumble. No way they could ever let that thing slide on YouTube. Anyway, if you're in here in the chat, y'all want to thank you very much. Hope you're having a wonderful day. And if you would, hit that thumbs up so they know to start suppressing us immediately. Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Believe I got my bare feet right now on this mat. And folks, I practice what I preach. I do. I'm telling you right now, I'm doing this stuff and I'm G'd up from the feet up. And you know that means grounded. Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that. In fact, they may be even, I think even they're running a Black Friday thing right now. And then Micronic Silver. I don't know how much I can go into that. That's another one of those things, but I just ordered and used my own discount code today. Just ordered some, as a matter of fact, today. And, folks, I think you're going to be really glad you did. And by the way, man, William, another thing I told your mom to get is, some of that toothpaste from EMF Rocks. It doesn't, I think it's going to be really good for the baby because it's something you can even swallow. So, okay.
There was another company that we found at the Healing for the Ages conference. I can't even say what they make their products out of, but it's for those of you that know, you can leave it in the comments in the chat. There's a part A and then there's a part B, and you mix those together right before use. They make a bunch of products. We're thinking about looking into their toothpaste, that version of a toothpaste, to see how well it does. But what's the EMF Rocks? What's that one made out of and stuff?
Well, it's just basically clay made out of the EMF powder type stuff. He doesn't even really want me to tell you what the rocks are called. Well, I think he doesn't mind. It's called Montmorillonite. And it's just got some spearmint in there, and that's about it. And you can swallow this stuff. So your mom also ordered some of that for y'all. Hey, thank you very much, Neil.
Yeah.
If you look in the chat, CD is what Neil is talking about. Oh, Mountain Readiness in the house. Yeah. So speaking of Mountain Readiness, like I said, we are teamed up with Mountain Readiness for this Sovereign Health Summit that's going to be kicking out next year, y'all. Look, I'm not into the holidays. I don't celebrate those things. I mean, you can do what you want. I'm not critical of anybody who does. I just don't. I got my reasons for it. And look, if you're looking for Black Friday, if you're looking to buy somebody a gift, look, we even have for the Sovereign Health Summit, we even have options where you can buy it online, meaning you can watch it from home. So you don't have to necessarily be there. I wish I would have remembered that the last couple of times I talked about it, but it is going to be streamed and you do have the options to purchase it that way. folks, I'm telling you what, this thing is going to be the cat's meow. You're going to want to be there if you can. And if you can't, well, do it online, because that's going to be the best way to do it. We are bringing you the very, very best in this space. People that have never been on the stage together, people that have moved the needle biggest in our lives. And it is so awesome to be able to link up with some really good friends to be able to do this. All right. So we're going to get right on down to it, y'all. This is okay. Thanksgiving for a whole lot of people out there. Hacks for the homesteaders in the house too, man. I think everybody's got a coma right now from eating too much food. Like I am, man. I'm like that little yellow fat Pokemon named Pikachu, man. I ate so much pie. I ate three different pies. Yeah. Pies. I got a whole ecosystem down there in my gut right now, y'all. And, trust me, and digestive enzymes, the vinegar, I took it all because I ate today in a way that I don't normally eat. And I guess that's what you do when you throw down. So, look, we wanted to switch it up a little bit. From knucklehead to now, that's basically what we entitled this show. I'm not going to go through the typical show the way we normally do it. Good news, bad news. We got plenty of that stuff out there. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go through and list off some of the people that I'm thankful for that have moved the needle the biggest in my life. And I am going to leave a lot of them out there. Well, one of them just showed up in the chat right now. Like I said, Hacks for the Homesteader. I learned more from Darren than probably 10 people put together. And folks, if you haven't checked him out over there, you might want to. He's one of those unsung heroes that's always the first in, last out every time something goes down. And he's always the first. He does it without thought of reward, without anything. You just got to feed him. that's pretty typical of the kind of people I know. But honestly, it's selfless people like that that have moved the needle. But I wanted to break it down because there are so many. I would honestly have to list 100 in here if I did it all. But I put them all in something of a genre. We'll come to that maybe at the end. Maybe some folks will figure it out. So I made a list, son. I guess you made a list as well.
Yep.
Okay. So right off the bat, you want me to kick it off?
Yeah. And I can adjust mine according to like what genre you're into. So I'll stick within the same genre.
Well, you don't even know what it is, son. I didn't even tell you what was on my list. So you may not even know, but right off the bat, y'all, I want to give a shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Because honestly, there's no telling where my life would be right now if I didn't find him. And I invite all of you out there, if you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, well, you think maybe that might put a cramp in your life. I got news for you. It frees you. Never felt more free in my life. And folks, it all starts right there. So that's where I want to kick this off. But right off the bat, maybe I'll even offer a little, brief anecdotes regarding some of these folks. But right off the bat, I got to give a hat tip to my wife, Michelle. Folks, a lot of times, here's what you don't know about her, because she's more averse to being in front of the camera than I am. But I'll be honest with you. She's typically the smartest person in a room a lot of times, but you'd never know it. You would never, ever, ever know it. She thinks so far outside the box. But this is one of those things that I've been constantly working on her for years. She is an incredible thinker that as long as she's not emotional, she will think so far out of the box, it'll make your head spin. And she comes up with ideas that she never takes credit for. And what I've learned from her is a level of doggedness that you just don't see every day. She would be out there and has been out there in excruciating back pain day after day, week after week, month after month, and honestly, year after year, until we found a solution to it, by the way. Would she be a pain to deal with when she got back in the house? Yeah, but she never quits. I mean, she's out there sucking it up. It is a doggedness and a tiredness that she will work through like nobody you've ever seen before. I mean, just in the worst kind of conditions. And she will still suck it up and drive on like nothing I've ever seen before. And she's an incredible thinker. So that's one of the things I got from her. My son, strangely enough, I get part of my sense of humor from him. It usually goes the other way around. Now, he's clearly here on the podcast with me. I mean, like, I remember back when we used to celebrate Christmas, he writes Santa, and instead of what the other kids asked for, I remember one year he asked for a butler. And then another year he asked for a falcon. Who has kids ask for dogs, man? He's asking for a falcon. I mean, okay, what do you do with that? But no, honestly, he's intelligent beyond his years. He's wise beyond his years in a lot of ways. And I learned more from him than I know it. And compiling this list, honestly, made me take a full examination, big time examination, because I did spend some time on this, y'all. This morning, get up early like I always do. And I spent some time thinking about this. And there's a lot of other things that I'm just not going to be able to get to because obviously we got to keep this show within wraps. All right, son, let me throw it over to you. I've taken up too much time already.
So first teachers would be you and mom. Like you said with mom, I mean, there's just something about mom where she can just turn off like pain, temperature to an extent, pressure. Like no matter how bad she's feeling, she will get whatever it is she's wanting to get done. Like even at her own, like at a cost of her own health. But also both of you guys taught me how to think for myself, how to teach myself. How to become an autodidact, how to question. You guys did a lot of the legwork as far as waking up that I didn't have to, just from the nature of listening to your guys' conversations. There's a lot that I learned from you guys just via osmosis of you guys having your own conversations and me just having the opportunity to overhear it. There's a lot you guys taught me just indirectly without actually teaching me. How to treat people, how to be a good friend. I remember you telling me times, before in the past of like being a good friend doesn't mean that you just go along with whatever that person is doing. Like being a good friend sometimes talks or like you sometimes concern yourself with like, hey, if they're going down the wrong path, letting them know that you don't just go along with them because you're being a friend. You correct them and you show them, hey, you're going down the wrong path. I mean, the biggest one is like having that built-in BS detector of being able to determine whenever I'm trying or like somebody's trying to manipulate me or lie to me via the Trivium and things like that. I mean, you guys, every mistake that I've made growing up was because I ignored what you guys have taught me every single time. There's nothing that I can go back and say like, oh man, I had crappy parents despite your upbringing. There's no time where I can go back and say like, oh man, I did the wrong thing because I was taught wrong by my parents. Every single time I've done the wrong thing is because I've done the exact opposite of what you guys have taught me every single time.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because it kind of brings me into my next one. I'm thankful this day, honestly, for my grandmother. Folks, for those of you that are new to this program, I'm just going to briefly talk about this. I did a show where I went in a little more detail called How I Became the Permaculture Pimp Daddy. I usually don't like talking about my past. I mean, who does? Well, maybe some people do. I'm just not that guy. But anyway, long story short, my mom and dad decided to take all six of us boys on a bank robbing spree. Folks, I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. They took us on a bank robbing spree from one side of the country to the other, and then we're working our way back through. And it was funny because I was talking to T the other day, and he reminded me, I didn't realize I'd told this story to some folks, but they were notorious. I mean, my dad would go rob a KFC. He'd have a bucket of chicken in one hand and a bag of money in the other. He'd jump in this Volkswagen station wagon, this Volkswagen van, actually, and say, the colonel's been good to us. Speed on out of there, and then they'd be on to the next one, you know? So anyway, when you come from a family like that, typically there's not a whole lot expected out of you. People really, your choice is typically in a situation like that. This is why I'm saying the Lord's been so gracious, because in a situation like that, I should be washing dishes in Sing Sing. I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing by every statistical measure. But because the Lord had grace on me, not to say that living a life like that, when they're locked away in prison, my grandma in her 70s, just recently widowed, raised all six of us boys. And looking back at it, one of the greatest regrets in my life is I didn't tell her, because I didn't know how much she had done for me. I didn't know this until years later. So if I could do anything, one of my biggest regrets is that I never took the time to thank her, because she had passed on. I mean, she lived to be nearly 100, but she had passed on before I had any reckoning of how much she did for us and how things could have gone a very different way. And I could have wound up being a fluffer in somebody's basement. I mean, when you look at the statistics of what happens to kids like this to wind up in a system like that. So, yeah, very, very thankful for her. And little things that I remember, maybe I'll bring it up in another episode, but I'm going to throw it on back to William.
Believe it or not.
Before I do, I'm sorry. On your point, before I do that, you know what? My dad, he was also an example of some things to do, but also he taught me a lot of what not to do. You know, where William said, you know, there was honestly, it was not listening to the advice of my dad that actually made the difference in my life. It was play it safe, you know, do this, and this. Don't take risks. And I'm not for that. Don't, you know, because of their life, because of prison and because of so many things, they lived a life of fear. And I did for a long, long time. Don't worry. The person that got me out of that is on this list. So back to you, son. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. Oh, crap. Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, one of the best teachers I've ever had was actually in the school system. Mr. Bush. He was my sixth grade teacher. There was a lot, like looking back at it, there was a lot that Mr. Bush allowed us to do that other teachers did not do. And in fact, I've had other teachers downgrade me during classes because of doing this. And that was the ability to debate and to ask questions and to disagree. Yeah, Mr. Bush, he what ended up being a pain for a lot of other teachers that I've encountered later on. But yeah, Mr. Bush allowed us to have questions, and looking back at it, he probably didn't agree with half the stuff that I was saying, but he allowed for that discussion to happen. Mr. Bush, you lived in Lawrence, Kansas. I wonder if he's still around, cause I would like to go back and thank him, if at all possible. But yeah, Mr. Bush, my sixth grade teacher.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because my eighth grade teacher, it was my eighth grade teacher that made the difference. Man, I didn't plan it this way. It just came out that way. His name was Mr. Pendarvis, Bill Pendarvis. I don't remember all of my teachers, but I do remember him. He was a black guy, and he was a Green Beret in Vietnam. He made it very, very clear from the day you got in his class that the standards have changed. And I remember he's in there cussing, you know, and everything in eighth grade. And I remember thinking, whoa, I'd been a pain in the butt for all of my teachers. And up until that time, he made me believe that it was okay to be smart, because I went from like a 1 point something GPA in trouble all the time to a 4 point. So it goes to show you that it had everything to do, because I didn't want to let Mr. Pendarvis down. That's why I did it. And I remember the first time he wanted to see the report card or whatever. And of course I'd gotten all A's and one B, and I was so proud of myself. I was so proud of myself with the, it was almost a 4 point at that point in the first, I don't know, quarter or whatever. I don't know if you're hearing that dog right now. Are you hearing that, son?
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear my boy.
Yeah. I'll take care of it here in a minute. Anyway, I remember going up to him with my report card and him saying, okay, all A's and a B. Where's that other A? Like, okay, you think you hit the top. I mean, why are you not getting all A's? And I remember thinking, okay, so then you better believe I'll put it down. So next thing you know, it was 4 point. And then guess what I did? Right after eighth grade, I went right back to just barely doing enough to stay eligible for sports, because I wasn't challenged by school. I didn't know that at the time. And honestly, there was a whole lot of kids. There was a lot of busing going on, and it was not cool to be smart. It was not cool to be smart, or nobody knew that privately I'm listening to classical music. That was one thing my dad did turn me on to. They didn't know that I was into the fine arts. They didn't know what I was into, and I kept it all private because it wasn't cool to be smart. And anyway, he changed the difference in a big way for me. And there was another one that was later on in high school, but go back to you, son.
So this one would have been like an example of like what Dad was saying earlier, viewing how somebody's living and then doing the opposite of not paying attention to that advice. And there are some family members, Dad, you know, but just witnessing the interactions with these family members, it gave me an idea of what I'd never wanted to be when I would grow up. And that is thinking that I have it all figured out, or unable to learn anything new, or thinking that I've reached, because of certain accreditations and everything, that I am the end all be all when it comes to a particular topic. It's the state of mind of, like, what was it? Socrates saying he's the wisest in the village because he realizes that he knows nothing. He was saying it kind of in jest because he still thought he was. I mean, there was still quite a bit or was it Hippocrates? But there's still quite a bit of ego involved with that. But, like, always observing these people and how they interacted with people and how other people would respond to their reactions taught me of what I never wanted to be when I got older. And that was exactly what I just said, was like the assumption that I have it all figured out. The assumption that there's no more to learn on a particular piece of information, or there's no more to learn on a particular topic. Because at that point, you just stop growing. You stop getting better. You stop changing. There's always room for improvement, no matter what the topic is. But yeah, Dad, you know the family members I'm talking about.
I know exactly. I know exactly who it is. I mean, when you're green, you grow. When you're ripe, you rot. That's the bottom line. That's it in a nutshell. For me, there was a guy that, man, it's funny how mine are playing off of yours. There was another teacher. His name was Guy Smith. You know, it was definitely at a time in my life where, you know, things were rough. Like I said, when you have two convicted felons as parents that honestly should have been divorced. I mean, we were one of the few kids I knew of in high school that in Oklahoma went to U.S. Grant High School. And yeah, which was strange. And you talk about confusing. So check out, I mean, this is a little side note. I don't mean to go too far here, but okay, U.S. Grant High School, but the colors were red and gray. Gray were the colors of the South, but you got a Northern general. And I'm like, what? Even as a kid, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. This is so stupid. And my dad, I remember, used to get a kick out of this. He was like, I don't get it either. Anyway, Guy Smith, man, he was one of those guys. You didn't call him Mr. Smith. You called him Guy. I mean, I don't know how. Look, at the end of the day, it was through that guy, and it was one of those lessons I had to learn later on that, you know what, he loved everybody. He really did. And because of my experiences and a lot of yours out there, I realized, you know what, man, this is one of those ones I had to circle back to. And I always wondered why. Why was this guy so joyful? Why was he so cheerful? Why did he just love everybody? No matter where you came from, the guy just loved you. And, you know, he made a big difference in my life. Back to you, son.
This is a 2-for-1. So in combination, Eric Sider and Jeff Lawton.
I actually got Eric on my list too.
Yeah. I mean, there isn't a time where he doesn't have his little, cause he does the excerpts within the Pimpcast. There isn't a time where I don't, like, we're listening with you. We're learning at the same time you guys are about what Eric's in-depth understanding of permaculture really is. And then Jeff Lawton, I mean, look at what he's done. He's consulted in every single country. He's grown in places that people say you can't grow. In salinated below sea level deserts, war zones, things like this. He's, every time somebody's told him that he can't do something or can't, you know, help a certain group of people, he just responds. I mean, he doesn't, might not even acknowledge it and might not even respond. He just shows you with action. Like, yeah, this is entirely possible. I mean, the Greening the Desert project by itself should be life-changing. Anybody who sees that documentary realizes, like, oh, my backyard garden in East Texas in a Mediterranean climate ain't that difficult to deal with compared to what he's dealing with, was dealing with, and is currently dealing with, despite the war that's going on, or the genocide that's going on just right across the body of water. I'm being vague intentionally, so I don't know if we're going to get demonetized based on that topic. But yeah, Jeff Lawton and Eric Sider. And Eric Sider was the one that gave me the opportunity to go learn under Jeff Lawton. He just reached out one time, which is a testament to Eric's character. Like you've said before many of times, Dad, like, Eric will help you out with no thought of, like, reward. He's not expecting anything back whenever he offers something to you or whenever he tries to help you. And he's the one that opened the door from, like, the fast track of me going and learning under Jeff Lawton and studying under Jeff Lawton, both of them.
I got Eric down on my list too. He was further down the list, but I'll go ahead and cover him since you did as well. One thing that you can't help but take away from Eric is a sense of selflessness and loyalty on a level that you just can't even imagine. Like William said, I mean, he does things because it's the right thing to do. He's a very moral man. You know, he's wicked smart. And he's just one of those guys that you know will never, ever, ever stab you in the back. And for me, and I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but I overlook, I have in other people, I can overlook a whole lot of maybe character flaws in a person when they are loyal. And to me, that's one of the hardest things to find because I'm the same way. I am loyal to a fault. Now, once you screw me over, if I get any detection of you doing that to me, I will go the other way just as fast as I, you know, and it hurts. And all of us know what that feels like. But I never ever had any concern about that with Eric. I mean, he's an extraordinary guy and I feel lucky to know him.
Yeah. Are you passing it back over or are you just adding to Eric? Yep. Okay. Another one would have been as TJ from over at Bear Independent. There's a lot to learn from him in regards to his going and saving children. He went into that with no experience, no understanding of how to even do it. And I mean, look at what he's accomplishing. He's going in whenever he's changing legislation. He's going in whenever everybody else is ignoring these children. And if we can't protect our children, then TJ over at Bear Independent, what they're doing with Caleb House and saving these children that are in the, pass it on.
Yeah. So folks, you know where we stand on that. And it sure is funny that all of a sudden we ended up getting a lot of spiritual attacks when we were really, really talking about that. Hey folks, it hasn't gone away. We still tithe to that place. You know, Caleb House and the whole nine yards. And I encourage other people out there, if you have the resources, you know, and you're looking for someplace, definitely check them out. Because honestly, it's one of the big things I got in my future as well. Things I plan to do when the time is right, but that's another conversation. Strangely enough, I learned my first lesson at having a work ethic from my second oldest brother. And I don't think I'm going to say his name here. Yeah, he's a troubled soul in so many different ways. But remember, we're talking about the teachers in life that I'm thankful for. I always had something or what I thought was a good work ethic, but I didn't learn it really well until I had to work for him before I went off to the Army. And now, keep in mind, it's weird because he applies this work ethic when he's working for other people, but doesn't necessarily, it doesn't apply to himself. It's weird. It's complicated and it's strange. That's what happens when you have a couple of parents taking a bunch of kids on a bank looting tour, robbing KFCs the whole way. You're gonna leave some damage out there. And if you're not willing to fix it, well, it's going to create problems. But anyway, he was one of my first ones. And let me say another one along with him. After I got into the Army, there was a guy named Sergeant Powell, Steve Powell. He's no longer here. He died in a car crash. I looked up to this guy like nobody's business. I mean, he taught me also a work ethic in the Army. So I'd learned it beforehand, and then I learned it again from Sergeant Powell when I was in the Army. I remember him on his own time on a Saturday, you know, and you don't have a whole lot of time off as a soldier. And I remember him taking me out there, just me and him, showing me how to land navigate with a map and compass, how to figure the angle of declination, how to go from grid to magnetic, how to do all those things. And I became pretty good at it because of his tutelage. He's one person I really, really miss because he was an extremely selfless man, but he was all about, I mean, he could get down, you know, when you were stepping out of order or you thought you were going sideways, believe me, but he was all about that work ethic. Miss that guy. And I think about him quite often, actually. Steve Powell. So go ahead, son.
Yeah. The next ones would be, again, TJ over Bear Independent, but also, and this is a group. My friends, JD and Tracy, and then also my buddy, Michael. I've realized that I've learned more about scripture as soon as I stopped going to mainstream churches. That's whenever the learning as far as like, what does scripture actually saying? What is it? What are the applicable things that I can take from scripture and apply to my own life? How we should actually be living. All of these people in conjunction have shaped and molded, helped shape and mold me this past year, starting with TJ. I remember doing a consultation for him. And then at the end of the consultation, there was just this brain dump that he did right after the consultation in regards to scripture. And then me and my wife we're like, man. And at the same time, there were some things going on like at the mainstream church at the same time where I was trying to get answers on a particular topic. And everybody kept responding like, oh, like, you know, just show grace and leave it to your countenance and things like that. And it was in regards to an abusive family member, not towards me or to like my immediate family or anything like that. It was just I knew that there was something that the family is supposed to be doing about this abusive member. And everybody that I was coming in contact with was all saying like, oh, just show them grace and things like that. And then at about that same time, coming into contact with TJ, he gives me this brain dump. And my reaction at first was like, no, this can't be right. Like, let me investigate this. Let me, you know, use scripture to disprove what he's saying. And the more I did that, and the more every time I think I found a piece in scripture that would disprove what he was saying, I kept reading. And then I was like, oh, dang, that doesn't work. And then I kept going and then find something else. And then I'm like, oh, dang, that doesn't work. And then I'd find something else. And I'm realizing like, well, within context, that doesn't work. And then about that same time, JD and Tracy come into my life and I do a consultation for them. You're seeing a pattern here. I do a consultation for them. And then at the end of that consultation, they give me another like a little bit download. And what's really cool about JD is that he doesn't tell you what he thinks. He doesn't tell you anything that he's saying. What he does is just like, hey, well, what does scripture say? Let's go into scripture and find out exactly where that's, you know, that topic is concerned in scripture. And let's see what scripture says. And then doing the disaster relief in North Carolina, got stuck, was doing it with over at I teamed up with the Bear Independent Grindstone ministries and stuff like that, and being a part of the recon team at first, the first time I went out there, I got stuck in the truck with a guy named Michael. And when you're doing like recon and that disaster, there's a lot of downtime, not necessarily downtime where you're not doing anything. It's just, there's a lot of quiet time. And Michael just shared scripture with me the entire time. And really like helped me find a better understanding for some of these more complicated topics within scripture. Now I know you and I, Dad, don't necessarily believe the same exact thing in regards to scripture or anything like that, but the more that I get into, this area of scripture, the more answers I have as far as like the beginning topic we were talking about earlier, not celebrating Thanksgiving. Like, had I not had that very, very first interaction with TJ, I'd be celebrating all these same holidays as before, minus Christmas. I mean, I can't. I think ever since Mom went to Kuwait, we stopped celebrating Christmas. But overall, teachers as far as scripture, and they wouldn't even allow me to call them teachers because technically they're not. But these group of people, TJ, JD and Tracy and Michael, have all helped me find truth within scripture.
Yeah, back to me. When I first got in the electrical trade, folks, I didn't think I was going to make it at first. And it wasn't because of the difficulty or I couldn't understand it. It wasn't any of that. It was a very different world back at that day. And I started in Oklahoma when I got out of the Army. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And the reason why is because I had the blessing, and it was a blessing, to have worked under guys like Newt Furtick, Larry Dunnigan, and Kyle Haley. And these guys were very, very long in the tooth in the trade. And these guys were very, very old school. So it was a very different relationship between apprentice and journeyman at that time. Very, very different than what it is right now. In fact, it's a shadow of its former self. These guys had been in the trade for the longest time. Nobody wanted to work with them half the time because they thought they were a little bit tough. But with my military background, I was like, okay, I can handle it. You know, how hard could it be? Well, and then working with other old guys like Johnny Fowler and some of these other folks, they were all in Oklahoma. Man, these guys made me a really, really awesome craftsman. They really did, because what I learned from them, remember, I'm talking about things I've learned, was attention to detail. William will tell you, Michelle will tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves is lousy craftsmanship. I can't stand it. I will not tolerate it. I hate it. I hate it. And this was something that was instilled in me by these guys. I remember working out here first time, you know, I was still on my tools when I came to North Carolina, and I got an apprentice. He's a fifth year apprentice. And I'm telling him to bend me a 90 degree, you know, piece of conduit. I can't remember how long. It doesn't matter. I go try to put it up in the ceiling. I'm working in the lift and it won't fit. And I'm like, come on, man. I know my measurements are right on. What's going on? And then I get down and I look at it. It ain't even close to 90 degrees. This thing's like 87 or something like that. No, it needs to be 90 or it won't fit. It won't work right. Or you're just going to. And so I asked the kid, I said, hey, dude, what's up, man? This is supposed to be a 90. And he has the audacity to tell me it's pretty close. And I'm like, what? It's pretty close. No, dude, we don't play that game. No, it needs to be on the money. We don't play that game. And anyway, it was from Newt, Larry, Kyle, and a number of other. I've worked all with guys that were literally on their way out of the trade, like within 5 years of retirement from the trade. And I learned an attention to detail. And it can make me very tough to deal with sometimes, but I can't stand lousy craftsmanship and I won't tolerate it. And it's probably one of my biggest, besides bad drivers, lousy craftsmanship is probably right at the top of the list. I probably got a few others. Back to you, son.
Well, speaking of drivers, guess who taught me how to drive? Dad did. My dad did it, and also instilled in me a hatred for bad drivers. Oh man, I can't stand, because it shows that you have no consideration for anybody else on the road. Like you're
driving a 2,000-pound projectile if it's in the hands of a moron.
Yeah, absolutely. You have no consideration for anybody else in the world. Everybody else's life just does not matter to you at all, being a bad driver. But the teacher I was going to say next, and Dad, I'm assuming that he's probably on your list, but different reasons, is Joel Salatin. For bringing like regenerative grazing. I mean, there are, you know, things we don't necessarily agree with them with, as you know, regarding certain topics and all that. But like, as far as regenerative agriculture, he's created, like you've said before in the past, Ed, like he has created more homesteaders, more farmers than anybody, probably anybody else in the world, including Jeff Lawton. Jeff Lawton largely does not produce, like farmers or regenerative agriculturists or anything like that. He largely produces, I mean, most people who take his courses and stuff like that don't really do anything with their permaculture education afterwards. Not saying that Jeff Lawton is a bad teacher, because he's probably one of the best in-person teachers that I've ever had as far as conveying a new topic to a person. So it's not at fault of Jeff Lawton or anything like that. It's but Joel Salatin, he has gotten more people and has enabled more people than anybody else within the permaculture regenerative ag, you know, sphere. And it keeps his grazing very, very, he's really good at simplifying systems and simplifying structures. So that way it's easily graspable by people who are brand new to these things. So on over to you, Dad.
You know, what's funny is that Joel is actually the next one on my list. I'm crossing them off as I go down. You know what? There's a whole lot in this area that I could honestly give a hat tip. There's Dr. Elaine Ingham. There's Jeff. There's Bill Mullison. There's probably Stefan Subkowiak, you name it. And I've had the great fortune of meeting so many of these people. But there's a theme here that I'm working on. I'll tell you what, it was because of Joel that I no longer have that fear of failure that I had when I was growing up. That was instilled in me, not only my parents, but also my older brothers, who foolishly instilled this idiotic fear of failure. They would set standards that they themselves couldn't even achieve. And there were things I didn't do in my life because I was afraid to fail. And I've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again, folks. Like I said, I'm bringing up Joel in particular because there is a theme I'm rolling with here. I remember it was at the first ever Mother Earth News Conference. And keep in mind, there are things I did not do, regrets I have, because things I didn't do because I was afraid to fail. Joel was the first one. I don't know if he came up with it, but I'm suspecting that he did. And I'll just say it. If it's worth doing, then it's worth doing poorly at first. When he said that, I remember being in the crowd, Lawrence, Kansas, when he said it. And I remember like a light just came down from on high and just opened up my heart to say, hold on, whoa, you mean it's okay to fail? As stupid as that may seem right now, folks, I had a major hang up with this. And then when you read other people like Teddy Roosevelt, who I have a love-hate relationship with, and then, you know, he talks about in his Man in the Arena speech. If you haven't read it, folks, I mean, it's one of the things I need to memorize. You know, he talks about, you know, that person in the arena whose face is, you know, covered in blood and mire. And then he says at the end of it, my place will never be among those cold and timid souls that know neither victory nor defeat. Those words speak to me in a way that I don't even know how to describe, folks. But Joel was the one that got me out of that fear of failure. And then also what Roosevelt said was, fail while daring greatly. And that's exactly what I'm doing. There's times I fall flat on my face. Who cares? I'm that man in the arena. And a lot of you are too. So if you're worried about failing, fail while daring greatly. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Michael, believe it or not, this might be a weird combination for a lot of people when they first hear it, but Michael Reynolds and Dr. Elaine Ingham, both of those, and there's a pattern between the two, is that despite what the industry was telling them they could and couldn't do, or despite the industry straight up just blocking them or even de-licensing them or things like that, they still pursued what they knew was a better route to go. So Michael Reynolds with the Earthship construction, turning trash into houses for people, which also created, because he wanted to build an ark, something that, like, if your house was a spaceship, it's got to provide all your own needs. How do I build a house from, like, trash, things that other people are disposing of? How do I turn that into a house that provides all the own needs of a person? I mean, despite them removing his license at one point, despite all the crap that he was getting from the main industry of architecture and everything, he still went out there and said, like, screw y'all, I'm doing what I know is a better route to go. I'm going the route that I know is a better route to go. Same thing with Dr. Elaine Ingham, the amount of crap that she went through because she was a woman within the industry. You know how much sooner we would have had this information had she not gotten blocked by the men in the industry because she was a woman? Discovering, like, oh, some of these microbes are invisible because they're the same color of water. So let's change microscopes to a compound shadowing microscope. And look, oh, look, there's so many other people, or not people, but there's so many other organisms within the soil. Despite the amount of petroleum money flowing into the Kyber Bosch nitrogen-based fertilizer systems, like, despite all that, these people, neither one of these people could have been bought out of what they knew what was right. And that applies to a bunch of teachers that can't be bought, that are going to teach you the truth, that are going to expose the truth despite how much money is being thrown at them, or despite the industry that's in the way. Over to you.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to say Pastor Chuck Baldwin. You know, he's redefined. There's a whole, now he's in a class of his own, if you ask me, especially these days. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail right now because there's a couple of things I do have questions about, things that I'm not completely squared away on and things I just need clarification on. But he did point out how the evangelical paradigm that I was presented my whole time growing up, that, by the way, most of the people in that space were absolute hypocrites. He showed me how nearly all of that was a manufactured lie and when it started. And it goes all the way back to C.I. Schofield and the Plymouth Brethren and the people before them. It was a plan from the word go. What I learned from him is that everything I was taught, even in that space, not everything, but most of what I was taught. Look, folks, at the end of the day, here's what I believe. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. Outside of that, I mean, I've examined that as well. I am examining everything I was officially told. I will examine it for myself. The Lord gave me a brain. I will look into it, and I will remove whatever foolish pride that may present stumbling blocks to find out where exactly the truth lies. I do know that everything I was taught about this, everything that came from that Scofield Bible, for the most part, I'm doing an examination in a big way. I don't want to go down it too much, but I do want to thank Pastor Baldwin for opening my eyes to realize, you know what, all this stuff, it was one of the biggest hurdles, to be honest with you. Of all the things I had to redirect in my mind and relearn, that is one of the most difficult because it's ingrained in you from an early, early age. So it takes a whole lot. All right, son, over to you.
This might catch some people by surprise, but Flomaton Famous. That's in Alabama, right? He's in Alabama, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, everybody go check out Flomaton Famous. And what I specifically learned from him, not just the grafting trees or anything like that, but was like a way to teach people. When he's teaching you something, you can't help but be excited about what he's teaching you because he's excited about what he's teaching you. So that like, I remember watching him at the Kentucky Sustainable Living Festival. One of the things that he taught us was like how people are forcing dormancy. They're growing northern apples in Florida, and they're able to like force dormancy within these trees. And it wasn't necessarily what he was teaching, but the way he was teaching it and how excited he was to convey this information. Same thing with Stefan Subkoviak. Same thing with Chef Brian over at Jack Spirko's Expert Council. Like these are all teachers that are excited about the topic that they're teaching, and it's contagious. You could take somebody who doesn't give a crap about fruit trees, put them in contact with Flomaton Famous, and they will leave that class excited about grafting some doggone fruit trees. They'll be going and getting their own rootstock to grow. They'll be going and get their own scion trees to grow, and they'll start grafting their own fruit trees just because of the excitement of this one guy on the topic of what he's teaching.
He's got a good YouTube channel, folks, too. You want to go check him out, Flomaton, Flomaton, Flomaton Famous. I have a tree out back here that he grabbed it for me and gifted to me, and it's growing just fine. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. And, folks, it's also a lesson in here where get multiple teachers. Get multiple teachers in every discipline. And that is, if we're good at anything, it's being able to cut and paste the very best of all these different people. And I never understood people that just, you know, they follow the dictates of one person. Yeah, I get it. Follow that person until you become pretty proficient at what they subscribe. And then go find another teacher who may have a different take on it. Because the first person may have the best of intentions, but they may be genuinely wrong about a few things. But you're never going to figure it out until you find. That's why I said in our food forests, our orchards, there's probably 20 different inspirations from different people out there. Cut and paste this from Jeff Lawton. Cut and paste this from Stefan Subkoviak. Cut and paste this from Flomaton Famous. Cut and paste all this. If we got there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing out there that is really, the only thing that's truly original is our ability to be able to cut and paste all these different things. But we give attribution, which is, you know, one of my big things. I want to make sure these people get credit for what they've come up with. All right, for me, Ed Milet. He's got the Ed Milet show. Man, folks, if you're not listening to Ed Milet, whether you're in the business space or anything else, you want to check it out. I mean, the guy, he wrote a book called The Power of One More. It's sitting down there right now. And you will feel, when you look at his work, you'll feel like you can go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with you. And there's something, there's people like, you know, some people might view Tony Robbins that way. A number of others may view, you know, another person in this space the same way. For me, Ed Milet moved the needle in a big way because in his book, The Power of One More, folks, think about what you can get done on certain things. If you say, look, can I squeeze in another phone call, business call? Can I squeeze in? Can I get another nail in that barn? Can I do this? Can I do that? And you realize, and this is, I'm simplifying his work, folks, but I can't recommend it enough because he has led me to some other people that have been guests on his show that have opened my mind up to realize that I don't have to stay in this pattern of negative thoughts. you wake up every day, a thought comes into your head, and then nobody ever asks, well, hey, okay, the thought came into my head. I don't know where it came from, but do I have to believe it? Do I have to accept it? Or can I rebuke it? And strangely enough, I wish more pastors would talk about this sort of thing, because a lot of these thoughts are not coming. Remember, the Lord is the maker of peace, not confusion. So if you're getting some bad thoughts happening up there, you got to ask yourself where it's coming from. But we just entertain these thoughts without realizing that we don't have to. We wake up every single day and we have the almost, folks, if you didn't know this, it's a fact for most of us. Most of us, day after day after day, will wake up and have the same exact thoughts every single day that you had the day previous to that. Same emotional ties, same all those things, and you can break them. And I didn't even know it was possible until a couple of years ago. Well, I did. And well, I'll say it this way. I'm working on it. I didn't even know it was possible. I'm not saying I didn't believe it was possible. I just didn't even know you could control such things. It never occurred to me. This is the blessing. This is why I'm thankful to so many people on this list. Back to you.
So funny you bring up Ed Milet, because the next on my list was Andy Frisella. In the creation, him learning the lesson of building momentum, of building discipline and things like that. It's not because, like, people fail not because they don't have enough information, especially nowadays. People don't fail because they don't have enough information. It's because they don't have the discipline to act on. They're going based off how they feel motivated, which motivation is just fleeting. It changes depending on the time of day. It changes depending on the state of your business or whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. Andy Frisella created 75 Hard, and it's specifically designed to build discipline, especially when you get tired. So that way you can achieve what it is you need to achieve despite your motivation levels. Yeah, check out Andy Frisella. And then he has a bunch of business information. I think they have a business group that you can buy into called Arete. With Ed Milet. And it is a goal of mine to eventually be able to afford to buy into that business group of Ed Milet. And then, believe it or not, the person who introduced us to Andy Frisella was John over at SOE. Remember the first time we went over there and talked to John, and then what we discussed the entire way back were just different ways to run the business, different business ideas, understanding that this is far more achievable than we had ever previously thought. And it also expanded like what we can do with these platforms, not just following the same, you know, typical homestead, you know, doing the same thing that every other homestead channel or permaculture channel or farming channel is doing on YouTube. We can do a lot more with this platform we've been given, especially once you apply discipline to it. So anybody who's struggling with any kind of achieving anything, do the 75 hard. Even if you're not struggling, do the 75 hard, because there's always room for improvement when it comes to 75 hard. Can you get done what you need to get done when you don't feel like doing it? That's what you learn.
I got a whole lot in this space in terms of health, but like I said, there is a theme here that I'm running, and I want to give a hat tip to Dr. Jack Kruse, K-R-U-S-E. I've talked about him a number of times on here, but just like I said, Pastor Chuck Baldwin broke the paradigm that I understood in terms of what I believe in terms of the Bible. You also have Dr. Jack Kruse, who did that for everything medical. Now, I was already not believing what they say in the mainstream medical model, but he took it to a whole different level once I started examining his work. And what was scary about it, and what I said in the latest interview that somebody had interviewed me on, I don't remember which one, but, you know, if anybody had a more decentralized way of running a farm than us, then I don't know who that might be, considering how we raise our animals. And then coming across his work, I realized, like so many others out there, I got it all right when it concerning my animals, concerning my trees, concerning my pastures, but I'm not applying any of this stuff to me. How many times did you hear me say on this show, folks, how many times in the sound of my voice have you heard me say, if you take one step towards nature, you get 10 of them back to you? Well, it never once occurred to me, as embarrassing as it is for me to say this, it never once occurred to me that these things apply to me. And that's what I figured out with his work. The guy's a freaking neurosurgeon, and the conclusions he's come to are healing people in a massive way. And what does it require? Light, water, magnetism. It's oversimplified, but you get it in a nutshell. So all of these allopaths out there, all of these functional medical doctors, they may have the best of intentions. Some of them are just collecting the check. Look, at the end of the day, I need to decentralize my life in terms of my own health. It's crazy how we all do it. Not all of us, but many of us do it concerning our animals, concerning our trees, concerning all these other things. But we don't apply these principles to ourselves. So that's what I learned from him.
Mine next on my list, Dr. Ely. So going to the Healing for the Ages conference over here in Dallas, Dr. Ely talked about like this battle over medicine and things like that. He broke it down in a way that really, really clicked with me and is the reason I will be becoming a naturopath. I'll be taking his course, and my next trajectory is going to be becoming a natural healer. But he broke it down and put it in a way where like made it very clear that this is a battle for good and evil. That's exactly what this is. That we are fighting the death cult of Asclepius, which has been an ancient battle going all the way back to the ancient Greeks. Once he brought that up, like, oh, this is the cult of Asclepius. That is who we are all fighting, and that is who we've all been losing to this entire time, is the cult of Asclepius. Once he broke that down and explained that to everybody, something clicked. And I like immediately knew, and I don't think I voiced it until maybe a couple weeks later to you guys, but I remember sitting there and knowing, maybe not putting words to it, but I knew that this is the next thing to do. This is the next step. Like, how much further as far as like accreditation or as far as like that goes, can we go with permaculture? As far as like being accredited with certain classes and teachers and things like that. I know that the next step, because what are we all growing this food for? Because there's crappy food in the food system for the most part, or just self-reliance, things like that. So how do we grow specific food? And what I want to get into is designing like farms based on the health issues that people are having. And then also building a farm where, like, instead of going to the doctor and then getting prescribed like heart medication, I want to be able to, somebody come up to me, say they have a heart attack, and I hand them a sack of beets and be like, here you go. That's my dream. That's my goal. That's what I want to get into. And it's because of the speech that Dr. Ely gave of breaking it down of how this is a battle for good and evil. That was the deciding factor for me. That honestly, well,
it seems honestly the natural progression in where you've been going right now. I don't know that you could get any more accreditation in what we currently do. You can obviously, there's never, I'm not going to live long enough to learn all the things I'm interested in. But honestly, this is one of the things. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because that's exactly what Jack Cruz is doing, is showing that, hey, the Lord, even though he doesn't even know, maybe he does, the Lord designed us to be a certain way, to function a certain way, to live in accordance to a certain set of principles. And then when you step outside of that, when you start, and believe me, a lot of this stuff is foisted upon us, whether it's through the governments and otherwise, but once you start doing things that are anti-nature, then we all suffer.
Anti-creation.
So, well, absolutely. I mean, and all of it. I mean, this is why I'm such a stickler. You know, there's a reason why we both have blue light blocking glasses on, folks. I'm not wearing these because I think it's a fashion statement. Neither is William. I am wearing it because this blue light programs you. I mean, that's another show altogether. I hope to get maybe Dr. Alexis Cowan on here to talk about that, or maybe even Jack Cruz himself to discuss exactly how this goes down. But I got one more on the list because I know we're getting long in the tooth. This is a name that a lot of people have forgotten, and I frankly don't know where he is right now. His name is Jan Irvin. It was because of him that I learned even what the trivium was. Trivium is Latin for three roads: grammar, logic, and rhetoric. I won't go through all of it right now because I've talked about it ad nauseum, I think, in other programs, but I am thankful of having learned what that was. Now, there's some of us, some of you in the sound of my voice right now, you do it naturally. I can't go into a whole lot of detail right now because that's not the focus of this show. This focus is telling you about the teachers I'm thankful for and William's thankful for. I bring up Jan Ervin specifically because if you can teach your children to give them that foundation, they have an automatic BS detector in them, okay? If they are told anything, they will ask the questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how, and it has to be in that order. Now, I'm simplifying it once again for, you know, the cause of brevity, but I think you get the point here. So I want to give a hat tip to Jan Ervin. Back to you, son.
Last one I got on my list is, I mean, my wife. Whenever we first got married, I mean, as with any marriage, you know, there's a lot of things you got to work out and whatnot. But I really started learning from her with her interactions with our daughter, June. Like seeing what actual love is. Like, I've never seen anybody love anybody more than watching my wife interact with our daughter. Like, Emily, without even thinking about it, would sacrifice everything, everything, if it meant June would have been safe or protected or just... I mean, my wife went 2 years without getting sleep. 2 years without getting sleep to make sure our daughter wasn't crying through the night. To this day, my wife still sleeps with our daughter because... I mean, she just does better with that. Like, as soon as our daughter was born, there was a flip in my wife. There was like a switch went off in my wife where like I'm learning what like actual love for someone is. Is that does she let her get away with everything? No, I let our daughter get away with a lot more than my wife does. But that's also not what an example of love is. Like she does correct her. She provides all of our daughter's needs. Like if our daughter is hungry, she drops everything she's doing and she goes and gets her some food. She makes her some food. And it, as far as like learning what she needs to learn, like getting into some uncomfortable topics for her based on how she grew up and how she was raised, which was vastly different than the way I was growing up and raised. But like getting into some topics that she's never been introduced before for the well-being of our daughter. Dad just mentioned the Trivium. My wife right now is learning the Trivium. She's going through and teaching herself, A, to become an autodidact. She's becoming an autodidact, but she's also going through and learning the Trivium. So whenever our daughter is old enough to start learning it, she's well-equipped to go ahead and start teaching that. Yeah. Emily.
Yeah, well, folks, I mean, the pattern I wanted to point out here was I just focused, like I said, if I got down to brass tacks of all the influences that have made and moved the needle, that's why I try to give them every time it's relevant in a YouTube video or something like that. I try to make sure I give them a shout out. And I don't think that's done often enough in a lot of these spaces where people get ideas from a person and they offer zero attribution. That's called plagiarism. It's one of my biggest pet peeves. I can't even tell you how many ideas I've had stolen from me and people passing them around as if they came up with it. That's not the reason why it upsets me. It's because the resources that I got it from, or the inspiration that I got from, they get no respect at all. But honestly, all I focused on right here in this Thanksgiving episode, I suppose, the only thing I focused on are the people that offered personal growth for me. That's the one pattern you'll see in everybody I have on this list. Now, if I were to pick another genre, I mean, it would be a whole different variety of people, and some of them would be on this list as well. All I picked were the people that have offered massive personal growth for me, where I was in one place, didn't know that there was another level, had no idea that there was a way to ascend to another level, had no idea until I heard the work of these people. And I'm believing that this is a very, very short list. It could be much, much longer. So, son, anything else to leave the folks with out there?
I think you nailed it right on the head. It's not that any of these teachers taught us everything about a particular topic. What they did was cause us to ask the question, to cause us to investigate a matter. Like whenever you're doing a debate and stuff like that, like the goal of the debate, and it's a much simpler goal and takes the weight off of the debate. If your goal for the debate isn't to completely convince the other person of everything that you're trying to, you know, relay or anything like that, the much better goal to have is just get them to ask the question and investigate it themselves. And that's exactly what all of these teachers have done. Is yeah, they, a lot of them have taught us some information, but more than anything, what they caused us to do was just ask the question and investigate it for ourselves.
Well, remember, like Louis L'Amour once wrote, a book is less important for what it says than for what it makes you think. And that's exactly what we get down to here. Hey, I want to thank, Cormac's in the house too, man. I don't even know, man, there's so many folks in here. It's just a joy to be in here tonight. All right,
hey, y'all. Real quick, Dad, hold on. Wellbot, you wanted to bring that up at the end of the episode too.
Yeah, Wellbots, remember y'all, they got that Black Friday sale over there, or Black Eye Friday, the way it's probably going to wind up being. So Wellbots, if you need anything in terms of preparedness, electronics, folks, they got a deal that'll knock your socks off. Like I said, I don't get paid for saying this. I'm telling you because they have been a good partner and have provided some excellent, excellent stuff out there. And seriously, I mean, if you're in the market to buy some of this stuff anyway, man, you might as well save some money in the process, especially during these times where, things were a little bit tough for a whole lot of us out there. Look, y'all, I hope this was a blessing to you. And the whole idea was not to be preachy about this, but to really give a hat tip to all these people that have made enormous gains in our personal growth. So, you know, happy Thanksgiving for those of you out there celebrating it. And for people like Cormac, who are over there in Ireland right now, and a number of others that are all over this planet, I want to thank you so much for your support. Until next time, you know the deal, y'all. Stay alert.
Stay alive.
Channel and it's nature, but the mile is ring. With roots that run deep, wisdom from sawing, burn across the dream. Let the idea unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling nature's groove. We've got the answers, all we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the change. Watch the world spin from the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive.